Hello and welcome back to Raised by Giants, where we talk all things spirituality. I'm Ryder Lee. Tonight we have returning guest Chris Matthew, but before I introduce him, be sure to check out Honey Colony website for amazing products like Superior CBD, Colonial Silver Elixir and Maker, energy supplements, health and beauty products, and a bunch of other really good ethically sourced products. I've used their Superior CBD and Silver Elixir every day for the past 2 years with my own money, and it's done wonders for me. And if you use promo code RBG10, you'll get 10% off your entire order. The links are below in the description. Check it out. Just go over there and browse all the products. You'll have to find something you like or need. So without further ado, tonight's guest is Chris Matthew. He is the host and creator of Forbidden Knowledge News and the Forbidden Knowledge News Network. From an early age, he questioned the nature of reality, but remained asleep like many until 2012. He eventually became a talk show and podcast host, which has featured some of the most brilliant and extraordinary people on the planet and has gained an amazing global audience. The Forbidden Knowledge News Network is now a podcast network that features creators, researchers, authors, and regular people just like himself that want to bring knowledge, truth, and a greater understanding to every person incarnated at this crucial time in human history. Hello, Chris, my brother. It's amazing to have you back on. How are you doing?
Hey, Ryder. Thank you so much for having me back on. It seems like it's been forever since we've spoken last, but awesome. I'm here.
Sweet, man. I appreciate you coming on kind of last minute. So,
of course.
Yeah. So whenever you said here in 2012 that in your bio that you kind of like awakened to a lot of these, a lot of the things that were happening in our reality. So what was that process kind of like for you, dude? Were you,
That was a hell of a process because I didn't know what was happening. In 2012, it was the last year of an extremely bad marriage that I was in. It was a 10-year long marriage, and most of that time I was in Florida. So that made things like 10 times worse just because I'm not a fan of Florida. It was no fun. Florida men were everywhere creeping around. But it was the tail end of a bad marriage. And I just, you know, I had realized that I spent 10 years doing nothing, researching nothing, not looking at who I was. You know, I was on drugs a good bit of that time and I was just lost. I was like, what am I doing with my life? You know, I had an okay job, I was making okay money, but I didn't know anything about myself. I was not happy with anything in my life, any aspects of my life. And I wanted to know more. And I felt like I needed to get back to that feeling that I had grown up with, that, you know, nothing around me seems right. Like, you know, the whole education seems screwed to me. Even as a young kid, I'd be questioning everything my teachers would be throwing at me. You know, needless to say, I wasn't that popular of a student. I didn't do too well in the regular education system. You know, I learned how to memorize stuff. That's how I passed tests. And I couldn't go along with the shit they were teaching me, you know, in history and all this other stuff. So I was a different kid and I wanted to get back to that feeling that something had always been off and around me, something not with me, but with the world, you know. I knew I had my own problems, but I was addressing those. And I knew that the world had some problems that I wanted to address too, because it wasn't just me that was contributing to not only the way I felt, but the way that I noticed millions and millions of other people were feeling, and things that didn't add up, the dots that didn't connect. So I started wanting to do some research, and I did. I just started with, like, you know, a little YouTube research, started diving in to see what kind of topics would be interesting. Planetary changes, UFOs, of course, CERN, all these strange kind of metaphysical topics that most people don't talk about in the mainstream that I used to be really interested and started to fall back into. And then I started picking up books from these amazing researchers and authors and creators and listening to more of their individual works in their individual shows and podcasts and reading articles and documents and just going down this road of research and finding out all these things that I had questions about my whole life. And I thought it was extraordinary. It's like, oh my God, we've been lied to. And then I'm like, everybody has to know. So I made this Facebook page and I wanted everyone in the world to know what the hell I was finding out. And I quickly realized everyone doesn't want to hear this shit. It's, you know, it's for a select few that maybe are starting to wake up. So, you know, I had my growing pains during this process, you know, trying to throw out all kinds of weird information that people didn't want to hear or weren't ready to hear. And, you know, at times I got a little forceful, I think, in the beginning, too, like a crazy religious fan. You got to read this. This is, you're being lied to. You know, I don't know. But, you know, that calmed down after I kind of grew up a little bit and started to realize, you know, people have to do their own research. They have to be ready for this stuff to look into it. But just go ahead and throw it out there for people to look at. So I made the Forbidden Knowledge News blog, and then I'm like, man, people probably, you know, a lot of people are listening to me, but am I smart enough to present this information? I don't think so. I just started to get other people involved that I thought were smart enough, the researchers I were looking into that I respected and that I was reading, and then authors and you know, people that I thought were smarter than myself that might know, have a little bit better insight into some of the stuff I was talking about. Started interviewing them, and, you know, that's what, you know, eventually became Forbidden Knowledge News. But I just couldn't get enough at that point. And I think that, you know, a lot of people that I was talking to during that whole period up until now had similar experiences to where they started seeking knowledge around that same time frame. And I don't know if it's some kind of cosmic energy thing or you know, something having to do with this Mayan calendar or what, but that was the time frame for me that I really wanted to change my life, wake up. And, you know, I still had a few years of growing, many years of really researching and growing until I want to explore the spiritual aspect even more of this, because, you know, I kind of held off on that and honestly was probably kind of scared to dive into that until I had my own contact experience. And that's when, you know, that side blew up and everything kind of came together. But that was it for me. And I couldn't tell you why it was around that time.
It's interesting that you said that you done everything by memory. That's exactly how I did everything too. Is like, I took a bunch of instruments, instrument classes. I took piano class and guitar and like all that. And I was trying to like teach myself, and I couldn't read any music. You know, I had to memorize
the same way. I had to done everything by ear and memory. Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know what that is, but I think it's a good way to skip through the indoctrination process. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Because they're trying to lock you into a certain point of view, especially in school, right? They want to skew your perception to get you into an illusionary reality, and through repetition and through an authority figure telling you what to believe. You know, we see that everywhere. And I think it's really started with religion, right? With a priest and bishops and people like that, like an authority figure telling you what to believe. And then they've expanded that into the schools and with teachers and then with politicians and stuff like that to really skew your perception. That's what it really comes down to, I think, anyway, is to take your perception, twist it a little bit, and then to fit into the reality that they want you to wrap your brain around, right? And that reality is manipulated and coerced in the way that they want it to be. So I think that's a good way that a lot of us, because I've talked to, you know, quite a few people that are exactly that way. You know, they learn through memorization. And I thought I had a lot of people fooled, especially my piano teacher, whenever I was singing, because I would act like I was reading the music, but I really just had it memorized. And I'm sure she caught on at some point. I mean, you know, it's really interesting that there's more people like that than we think, you know, that is all memory and muscle memory. Cause I've been that way for a really long time. Like once I've done something like a few times, like I'll always remember it and always pretty much know how to do it. Is that the same way with you?
Yeah, I think so. As it was that way with, you know, when I learned guitar, I started playing by ear. I would listen to a song and eventually be able to pick out each individual note and play it. But I think that's like you said, it's a great way to bypass a lot of the, not only indoctrination, but the BS that may be, you know, included in some of this stuff. But, you know, I'm not saying not to, you know, learn music or, you know, learn the details of this stuff and learn your history and learn the things they teach you in school, because I still did that. I still kept all that stuff in the back of my head, and I still had it like in a file folder, and I would go refer to it and kind of be like, what does this make sense out of this? And, you know, I used what I thought, was true and real out of the false education system that I was taught. And I kind of, you know, held on to everything just in case, you know, just in case this is real and I got to go back to it, or I have to use this in some real life situation. You know, it was there, but I always kept it in this certain part of my mind, like, this could be bullshit. You know, it's always in a questionable part. But that's probably most of reality really is kept in that section of the brain where it could be real and it could be false. And I think that that part of my brain, of course, has become way more open since, you know, since I started researching this stuff, and I've realized that it has to be, because you know, there's so much that I've found out isn't the truth that I thought 100% was for years. You know, I was indoctrinated into a lot of our false history and education system, and I thought, you know, things were the way they were with certain things, and of course came to realize that they're not. And I think a lot of people are right now, and I think that's a huge thing. But another thing that I never fell into was cliques with people. I never fell into, you know, they have your groups of jocks, you have your groups of you know, goth kids or metalheads and nerds. I just floated around everywhere. I never, you know, wanted to sit around with a certain group of people or kind of identified as a, you know, a certain type of, you know, punk rock or goth or whoever was these cliques were in high school. I just kind of floated around everywhere, and I never really understood that aspect of society where you have to be separated into your own groups, and some groups are more superior, some groups are more inferior. You know, I was always of the camp that aren't we all kind of the fucking same? I don't know, you know, but that was just my way of thinking. You know, even though we're not the same, we are equal on a certain spiritual level, I believe, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's how they put these labels and characteristics and categorize them and put people into a certain box, right? And we've seen that with a lot of things in our reality, and it's just trickled down from high school and middle school, and then it's spread out into our entire reality, basically. It's amazing the things that you don't think is indoctrinating you and is teaching you to be a certain way actually is teaching you to be a certain way. You know, it blows my mind. But I agree that we are spiritual beings having a human experience here, right? And that we're spiritual beings first, and we're these physical avatars and in these physical bodies second. Right. And I think that's what a lot of people really need to try and, you know, grasp more and figure that out, because a lot of people don't seem to know themselves, you know, and they don't know anything about what they are, even as a physical, and this identity that's been given to them, you know. Mm-hmm. Like they don't know who Chris Matthew is. They don't know who they are. You know, they've just been constantly propping up this title that's been given to them, their name, their birth date, their all of these different things whenever you're born into this reality. And then they constantly reinforce that over and over again, and they don't understand why. You know, so that's a big issue that I've found with a lot of people that get really emotional and triggered by a lot of different things, is it's because they don't know who they are, right? They don't know who they are as a spiritual being. They don't know who they are as a person. They've just been given an identity and they think that that's all that there is.
Well, even worse is people identify with, a lot of people, especially in modern age, identify with their work, with their job, what they're doing, even if they're not happy with their job, even if they hate their fucking job. You know, I'm a postman, and they'll, you know, they'll take that and adopt that as who and what they are and their whole identity in life. And that's a big fucking problem, especially if you hate your job and you're going to take on that identity and tell everybody that that's what you are. You know, I'm a postman, but you fucking hate it. So, you know, that's the society that we're living in, is millions of people who fucking hate who they are, but they are who they are because they're getting a paycheck that says that they are who they are. This is fucking ridiculous. That's the one of the hugest problems, like you said, with society right now, is what we're identifying as. You know, fucking once if these people, like, especially what's going on right now with the jab, if you're forced to leave your job, and you're no longer, I hate picking on postmen. I have no problem with postmen, but you're no longer, a UPS guy. Okay. And,
you have UFO driver. Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. That's what I want to be. But then you're going to be forced to be like, lose that identity all of a sudden. And then what are you going to do? Who are you? You're going to have to figure out who you are eventually. And people run from that. They think it's scary. I don't know. I don't understand. That's, you know, I used to be the same way. You know, I used to run from who I was, but after I had my spiritual experience, I'm thinking like, why did I do that? There's nothing wrong with any of us. We could all do the most fucked up stuff in the world. And, you know, if we learn from that and that's not who we are necessarily. You know, we all make mistakes, and, you know, to a certain degree, each person, you know, I don't know about somebody who's some of these elite people who are drinking baby blood and killing people. I don't think there's any hope for them, but I'm talking about your normal everyday fucking mistakes and living. I think that everyone is equally as spiritually viable as the next person. And they shouldn't be afraid to find out who they are, because we're all the same, really. We're all one. We're all connected. We're all from the same source. It's like I talk about all the time now. We're a big light bulb covered by a colander, and the light's coming out from all the millions of holes in the colander. And that's us. It's all the same. We're all one. So, you know, people really shouldn't be afraid to go down that self-truth rabbit hole, because that's the biggest one that you should go down. I wish I would have done that before I started looking at any of this other, you know, woo-woo stuff and UFOs and conspiracies and stuff. I wish I would have gone down that spiritual road first. But, you know, I'm here now, and I'm glad that I did eventually.
Yeah, I feel like that. Yeah, I wish I would have too, but I think that that's kind of the process, right? We have to go through all of the bullshit, corruption stuff, and then, you know, through the people that, you know, control the world and the archonic forces and the secret reptilian bases underneath the earth that's secretly controlling everything, you know, and then we pop out the other end, and it 9 times out of 10 turns spiritual, because I feel like that's the only way that we have to be able to deal with a lot of that shit, you know, because what are you really going to do for the freaking, that the government or whoever, the shadow government, whoever's, you know, controlling things and manipulating events and doing all this shit, what are you really going to be able to do about that? You have to take care of yourself and again, figure yourself out and get into that spiritual kind of mode. And I think that that's the inevitable step, is spirituality and becoming one with yourself and figuring yourself out. You know, I think that's the end goal. And then whenever we do that, that's like a self-liberation thing, right? Mm-hmm. And when we individually liberate, then we all collectively liberate as well. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I think that those in charge, those whoever the fuck they are, you know, I talk about them all the time. We talk about them all the time. Those hidden hand bastards, they're terrified of the powers of our consciousness. And I tell you what, lately, just in the past few months, I have realized the powers of manifestation and positive thinking and the law of attraction and how real all this stuff is and how well it works if you kind of focus on it and live by it. If you, the powers of positive thinking are really amazing. And I think that if we could, each and every one of us could implement that in our lives in a positive way, there would be no stopping what we could accomplish. And, you know, an example I'd like to give lately is the fact that we're on different timelines than most people. A lot of people are on this timeline where they're terrified, where they walk outside and they think they're going to catch an invisible oogada boogada bug, and they mask up with two or three masks, and they're afraid that they're going to lose their job, so they got to go get a booster oogada boogada, and then all these other things that happen because of fear, because of the reality that they're living in. There's a there's a boogada boogada pandemic, and people are dropping dead and they don't know what to do. And oh my God, Fauci's Lord and Savior. And then there's this other reality where myself, and I'm pretty sure yourself and a lot of other people are in, where the sky's blue, the birds are chirping, you walk outside and hey, I see a pretty lady over there. I'm going to go to the store. This is a great day. It's just a normal fucking day, really. So there's these two realities going on. And I think that the ones that are on this reality, it's all having to do with their state of mind. They realize that this is all a bunch of fakery and nonsense that they're seeing on the other timeline. And they don't want to participate, and they don't. And I don't participate. And I think I'm doing all right. And I think that, I don't know how long this power of positive thinking would last in a collective kind of apocalyptic situation that we're in, but I'm going to keep thinking that it'll last forever, and hopefully it will. It's done that so far, but I think that has a huge effect on the outcome of what we're living. I think that's everything, is our mental state and the way we feel and what we're thinking about and our reactions to certain events.
Agree 100%. And I think that, I've had the best 2 years of my life, like since this whole thing, right? I haven't done anything different.
2020 has been like party time. Yeah.
You're right. And it's, whenever this first happened, traffic was so clear, bro. You could just cruise down the road, dude. It was awesome.
Yeah, environment was getting replenished, yeah. You know? The ozone layer, was that even a thing anymore? Do we even have an ozone? I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably getting ready to collapse and we're all getting ready to die. Who knows? The poles are about to shift and we're about to go into a huge cataclysm.
Right. Jesus listening to this conversation like, not quite, guys. Sorry. Yeah, well. We got to have a laugh anyway.
Yeah, and the poles are getting ready to flip. Freaking interdimensional time traveling cowboy space Jesus is about to come back and save us all. Yeah, it's going to be awesome, dude. The rapture, we're all going, bro.
Man, if Trump isn't involved in all this, I'm going to be sad. He's got to be at least like riding on the back of Jesus' horse or something.
For sure, bro. Yeah. Trump is Jesus. You didn't know, dude?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. Trump is Jesus.
He's a savior. Yeah.
That's another thing, guys. Like the people that are pushing the whole savior type of new age type of thing, where there will be like even aliens coming to help. No one's coming to help us at all. I'm sorry, guys. It's a harsh reality that you got to realize before we can move on and do anything. No one's coming to help you but yourself. And if you don't help yourself, you're screwed. I'm sorry, Ryder. I'm cursing so much on your show. But no.
It's all good, bro.
Yeah, if you don't help yourself, that's the only one that's going to do it. You know, Space Jesus isn't coming. Elvis isn't coming. QAnon's not going to come and do the Q drops on Fauci until he dies. You know, this is our reality that we are the only ones. But I think there was a purpose to all of that. You know, there was a purpose to Q, even though it was probably a psychological operation. Have you ever listened to Cliff High?
A little bit. I'm kind of familiar with him, but not 100%.
I love Cliff High. I've had him on the show a while back. I need to get him back on, but I was listening to, I forget what show he was on, but he was making too much sense on this show the other day. And he was talking about some of the things that are going on right now and how it's, you know, basically been engineered, and he believes that what is behind it is some sort of etheric or interdimensional entity, because he doesn't believe that humans would naturally want to depopulate each other, which I don't think so either. He thinks a lot of these ideas and stuff have been implanted by what he calls this bug. And it's like this kind of, I guess you could say, interdimensional entity that wants to shift humanity in certain ways. And it makes me wonder, because I don't know. So I don't think that people are naturally that evil to want to depopulate a whole planet. I don't know.
No, they're not. And I think that he's probably pretty spot on there, because, I mean, we know that they've been trying to rip a hole in fabric space-time and bring these interdimensional beings in through a portal. I mean, that's what CERN is really all about. A lot of people have theorized that, you know. And the bigger hole that you can rip, the bigger portal that you can bring in, like a Stargate or something like that. Eric Hecker has actually talked about this too, the Stargates that are in Antarctica. You know, it has the potential to bring whatever kind of beings through it. And some of them can be physical, some of them can be ethereal or translucent beings that we can't even see, that could be manipulating us, manipulating the powers that be, the ones that are supposedly in charge. And they could be doing unfathomable amounts of things that we have no idea about.
Yeah, you're right. And Cliff was saying something else that I found very interesting, and it resonated with me a lot. He was saying, you know, they have no physical power over us. They cannot make us do anything. They can't even harm us physically. All they can do is implant things in our minds and make us harm ourselves, implant ideas, information. And that's why he believes this is like a new world war. This is an information war with those, you know, etheric entities against us, the people, but they're using us, the people, against ourselves. It's not actually them fighting this war, it's us, but they're implanting the ideas and the information and the instructions to whoever is easiest to manipulate up there, the people in charge, and that they are the ones perpetuating all this. But he also said that it's impossible for them to win, because it's them against the universal consciousness, and they cannot outwit the universal consciousness. The universal consciousness will always win, will always outsmart any entities that are out there trying to harm a good portion of life in this universe, humanity. That, you know, this universal consciousness, God, whatever you want to call it, he's not going to let that happen, and he's going to fight back using the same tactics, information and free will, but in a much more efficient and smarter way, which made a huge amount of sense to me. And I think that that's something that is very highly possible that could be occurring right now.
I think you're correct in saying that. I spoke about this a little bit on Lindsay Sharman's show, Rogueways, last week, and we were talking about this a little bit. And that's what I think is going to happen. I think the issue and the problem is the destruction and the chaos that's going to ensue whenever these dark entities try, right? Because it's going to come down like a house of cards. But I think what's going to be rebuilt is going to be in the favor of the people. It's just going to be a bunch of growing pains that's going to come before all this, you know, and it's going to be catastrophic. I think there's going to be a lot of death and destruction in our near future, but that's needed. We have to go through that in order for something more beautiful to be built on the back end of it. And I think the timeline for that is looking close to around 2030, whenever, through this decade, it's going to be a lot of turmoil and a lot of destruction and a lot of collapsing of old ways. The monetary system is going to collapse. The food distribution is going to collapse. It's all going to come down. And it's going to create a lot of discomfort and uncomfortability, because whenever you take down the monetary system, one day whenever we wake up and our money is completely worthless, we're still going to have it, but we're not going to be able to buy anything with it. That's going to create a lot of havoc. People are going to go crazy, right? They already have the other system already in place, but the problem is they can't just roll out a new monetary system without getting the backing of the people first. And if they were to roll out a new monetary system while the old one is already in process, they would have a lot of unanswered questions, right? And they would have to take responsibility and tell people exactly what's been happening with our dollar and what's been happening with our current monetary system. And they're never going to do that. They're never going to take responsibility for what they've done. So they have to do it in a different way. They have to let it collapse in upon itself. And then whenever that's over, they'll introduce a new way of doing it, but not before then. So, I mean, that's just my thoughts on it. I think that it all has to come down and it all has to collapse, and we have to go through a very chaotic period. And then what rises out of the ashes of that is going to be better for everyone on the planet.
I think you're right. You know, I do agree that there's going to come a point where, you know, it's unavoidable, where we're going to have some tough situations coming up. And I think that it's already to a point where these ones that in charge, even the entities at a higher level, that they've already kind of lost the game. You know, they're just trying to push it along. You know, like I've talked about before, and Gloria said this actually, that it's like a game of chess that, you know, the light has already won. They're about seven moves ahead, but the dark side just keeps pushing, trying to get this game to move on and drag out forever, but they know they've already lost. They're just doing this for an effect on the people to think that they still have a chance and that they're still could be winning, but they've already lost. And this is desperation moves. It's just going to be years of desperation moves that we're seeing when the outcome's already there. I mean, it's already going to unfold that we're going to be in a new system, because if you look at everything from the outside now, it's unsustainable, and it actually has collapsed already. We had not seeing the full effects yet, because it's so huge, because this beast of a system is so massive and so large and such on such a global scale and in cases everything that we're so used to. It's going to take a while for us to see the full effects of this. We're starting to see a little bit of it now with supply chain shortages and increased prices and all these little things that are starting to show up, social unrest, but it's going to continue. It's going to continue to get worse. We're going to see increases in the shortages and all this stuff until, yeah, we're going to be in a undeniable depression. There's going to be, you know, probably a lot of chaos globally because of this financial crash, and people won't know how to live. So I think that is coming, but I also think that the severity depends on what timeline you're on, just like we were talking about earlier. You're going to be on this timeline where things aren't as bad as they're telling you on the news, or are you going to be on the one where, you know, there's Mad Max land out there? I don't know.
We'll see. Mad Max land. Yeah, baby. You got my nipples pierced. I'm going to go. No shirt.
That's right. That nipple piercing is attached to the steering wheel of a tank, baby. Hard. You got to go hard.
Nipple piercing all the way down to my ball piercing. So what role do you think these ETs and the UFO phenomenon really plays in the overall scheme of all this? Because you get a lot of UFO people and researchers and experiencers on your show. So how does because we've seen this ramping up of the UFO phenomenon and some maybe a little bit of alien beings in there, you know, that they always talk about the grays, like they're the only ET species out there. But how do you think that this UFO phenomenon and the ET phenomenon and contact relates to the overall experiences that we're currently having right now?
Okay, well, this is a tough one because it changes all the time. The way I feel about this today is probably going to change tomorrow. It was different yesterday. It was probably different the day before. It's a difficult thing to decipher because of mainly the disinformation that's out there, all the different types of information. And you know what? It could all be true at the same time. Who knows? Or it could all be false. Where I'm at right now is I am definitely thinking this is more of a, of course, spiritual, but metaphysical, non-physical type of phenomenon, something that is taking place on a different dimensional realm or plane. It's definitely, you know, you could call it, you know, demonic or angels or whatever. They're not. I don't think that most of what we're experiencing is a physical phenomenon. I think that these entities are whatever they are. They may be physical somewhere, but that they're, it's more of an interdimensional type thing. Extra dimensional, whatever you want to call it. That these beings want to have influence over humanity, over what we are, over this planet, and they, I think that they, this is just my thoughts, that they want to have control over our spirits and souls as well. That's why it makes me think that the darker side of this could be more of a demonic type thing. I think that the entities we're dealing with are capable of influencing people in ways that could seem like, you know, possession, but not in the way you see in movies. Like, this is a lifelong thing where these dudes have some kind of attachment and they're some kind of demonic entity. Now, as far as like aliens and ETs, I don't know, man. I don't even know if they want to mess with us. I believe that they exist. I believe that there are alien species out there, but I don't know if they pass by Earth and they see what's going on. They're like, nope. But
first skirt.
Yeah, they could be involved. You know, I've talked with so many contactees and experiencers that I can't discount it, of course, but it is interesting that most of the more physical and even negative experiences and experiences with grays seem to have some kind of military involvement or some kind of involvement with humans. So that immediately makes me question anything having to do with that as an extraterrestrial only phenomenon, because that could be like some kind of MK Ultra type of psyop thing where they're taking people and dressing up in chicken suits and having sex with them in the night. You know, I don't know. But I think that a lot of the physical stuff, a lot of the grays, I think the grays are, a lot of those are ours that we developed maybe from advanced civilizations are given knowledge from spiritual entities, but I think we developed them among other, you know, entities might have them as well, or different types of grays. But I'm pretty sure aliens and the ones that are talked about, like the Nordics and reptilians, I'm sure they exist. And I'm really kind of like on the fence when it comes to reptilians, because there's some convincing stuff out there. There's some convincing information. The so-called whistleblowers have some, you know, interesting stories and connections. And I've seen some crazy videos, which, you know, I hate to go off of video footage for anything, but it's interesting. And it's something I also consider. But I think most of what we're seeing is humans being influenced by spiritual entities somehow. And I think that we've been in contact with whatever these entities are for thousands of years. We've been either controlled or been working with them or having some kind of occult ritualistic pact with them. And I definitely think that they have influence over some of these people. And I think a lot of the ET abductions and contact, especially with some of the new age stuff that's going on now, is a deception from maybe even these entities. Like, maybe these entities are contacting people and saying, you know, I'm an Andromedan and they're, you know, I'm here to tell you about you're going to ascend to the 3D to 5D in 2 days and all this crazy stuff that, you know, people are getting messages about. You know, I've heard some crazy things that they're going to come down and save the world soon. We're going to have a mass revealing, but I don't believe any of it because most of the time it never happens. So the whole extraterrestrial thing has shifted for me quite a bit in the past couple of years. But, you know, I'm not saying that those traditional aliens that we've been talking about a lot on my show aren't real. They very well could be, but I don't think we're as involved with them as maybe something more spiritual or metaphysical. And that scares people for some reason. I don't know why. I think that it's a natural part of our existence to interact with the spirit world and spiritual entities. It's who you choose to align yourself with or what you choose to align yourself with. That's when the problems occur. You know, you align yourself with entities of light, you'll have a good time. You start, you know, align yourself with little butt fucking demons, you're gonna have not so good a time. So that's where I'm at with that whole situation.
Whenever I see a nature spirit, what do?
You grab that motherfucker and you fuck it. That is a private joke between me and Ryder. Maybe one day you guys will find out. But it's a good one.
What do you do whenever you see an alien trying to abduct you?
Oh, man, you got to grab that man and fuck it. Anything. You just grab it and fuck it and it'll disarm it immediately. Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's good shit.
The audience is checking out right now. They're like,
oh, I needed that laugh. But here's my thought with this, Chris, is what if – all right, so try and follow me here. What if all of the aliens and ET beings are all the same entity, right?
Hey, that's a good one, yeah.
And they just have different dolls that they can inhabit, right? They have them, like, hung up on a freaking clothes rack. And they can go over there and grab that skin, put their consciousness or how maybe they're physical and just put that skin on, whatever. And then they look completely different, right?
That's kind of like along the Jacques Vallée school of thinking. Yeah, I've thought of that before too. And that's very, very possible. That's right up there with it.
I mean, it would make sense that, like, if you're a super advanced species and you want to deceive everybody, then that would be the way that you would do it. You would have like a reptilian skin hanging up in your closet. You'd have a Palladian skin hung up in your closet. You'd have a Nordic skin hung up in your closet. You have a gray skin hung up in your closet. And then whatever you want to do, however you want to be that day, or however you want to present yourself to people with certain thoughts, ideas, beliefs, then you put on that skin and then you contact whoever and you are that person for however long you have that skin on. And then whenever you want to switch and do something different or give a different kind of message, then you put on the other skin and then you're that person. I don't know. I think it's very, I don't know. I just kind of thought of that. I probably heard it from somebody, but it triggered that thought whenever you were talking about the ETs and stuff. And
I think it's highly possible, like a great trickster type entity that encompasses everything, especially if you look at places like, you know, Skinwalker Ranch or Blind Frog or some of these places of high strangeness. Why wouldn't it be just like one spiritual or trickster type entity that takes the hats of Bigfoot and alien here and all these things? Because there's so much concentrated energy there, it just has easier access to all these outfits, like you're saying. You know, that's a really interesting thought, and it is up there in my my options of what in the hell is going on in our reality right now.
Yeah, I've been really interested in like missing 411 stuff here recently. Yeah. I watched all of I'm blanking on his name, David.
David Politis.
David Politis. Yeah, I watched all of his documentaries recently. And that's some strange stuff, dude. Like, it's some weird things going on. And I think the more interesting ones are the people that have survived it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and them telling their story. Like, I'm pretty sure there was in one of his documentaries where a boy went missing. and they found him like 3 or 4 miles away, face down in the snow. And he had apparently like climbed over like 5 or 6 barbed wire fences or whatever. And then like they found him, but he's old now and he's still alive, but he didn't really remember anything from the event. And then there's a bunch of other ones too. Like on, if people are interested, go to YouTube and type in missing 411 cases and just watch some of the survivor ones, dude, because it's crazy. And I don't think anyone really knows exactly what's going on there. And I think it has to be a different kind of dimension, but a lot of these people have been found with no clothes on, you know, their shoes are off and they're in the middle of the freaking mountains where it's like 20 below zero. I might be exaggerating a little bit, but yeah, really freaking cold. So what is making them want to take off all of their clothes, you know what I mean, and put them neatly beside themselves?
Well, I got a couple of different schools of thought on this. Like one, going back to AT abductions, maybe we did have some kind of deal that we made with Eisenhower where they can abduct so many millions or thousands of people each year, whatever. And what a better place to do it than, you know, a national park, nice and quiet, nobody be around, you know, boom, alien abduction. That's an easy answer for it. Or along the same lines, what is, you know, the military needs test subjects. That's a easy place because you always hear how fast, you know, either military or men in black type agencies, any type 3-letter agencies show up after some kind of strange incident or a missing person incident that's unexplained. Well, you know, why wouldn't it be just as easy for them to have initiated that incident to begin with, you know, and take them for their own testing? So that's another possibility. Or like I've said before, what if it is some kind of grand, you know, we're in this simulated reality where in some of these areas, it may just be easier for you to be popped out of that simulation and popped in somewhere else. Maybe you get scrambled up in the process, you lose some clothes, whatever, and then you get popped back in somewhere else in the simulation where you're easy to render back in. I don't know. Or you just gone forever. You just popped out of into a new dimension or something, like you said. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting. And I'm like sitting there like racking my brain, like, how could this, you know, be possible? And what would make it? Because a lot of the people where their bodies are found, the ones that, you know, have died, have been found really close to help. You know what I mean? Like a structure or a building in the wilderness where that's in seeing distance that they could have gone for shelter or, you know, to get help, you know. And that's another mind blowing thing. It makes me think of, well, if they're going into a different kind of reality, then it would make sense that things would look similar and you would be disoriented, right? You would have absolutely no idea where you are, what you're doing, because everything isn't the way that you remember it being, because you're in a different timeline or you're in a different dimension where things seem familiar, but they're not exactly the way that you remember them to be. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, and it, Trey Hudson, the dude that we met at, I think you had him on your show, mm-hmm, that we met in at Laughlin UFO MegaCon. His thing is very interesting too, in that he's gone into these kinds of portals into different kinds of realities. And it's like, well, what does that even feel like? Can you exist in that other reality? How long can you be there? And then what happens if you die in that other reality? How does your body reappear? Because a lot of times they find, you know, bones and some kind of remains or a piece of clothing or a teddy bear or shoes or something. So would they have to shed off all of their clothes to be able to go into this dimension? And then they're just in there naked and they leave all of their stuff behind? Or like, I don't know. There's so many questions and so many things that surround the whole thing, but it's very interesting. And it
is,
really keeps my attention.
I wonder how much of, you know, our perception is actually real and what's behind it. You know, I'm very convinced that we are in some sort of holographic type reality.
Yeah.
Where, you know, reality is very malleable and it's not exactly what we're seeing. Like, a good example is the other day, I was driving, and I'm looking over at one side, and there's mountain view, and then on the other side, there's just kind of flat land view. And then I start driving, and I'm just listening to music, and all of a sudden, I look over to the right to the flat land view, and there's mountains there, but they're only there for a second, and it was just like a trick of my perception. You know, I'm wondering, you know, it makes me wonder, well, how, was that, you know, reality for a second, or was that just because, you know, my perception shifted and I'm used to watching mountains on that side, or could it be whatever we want it to be, or is it whatever our mind tells it is at that time? Like, you know, if my mind would have kept telling me there's mountains there, would there have been mountains there? You know what I'm saying?
100%. I had a very similar situation like that happened to me probably 4 or 5 months ago. I was at work, and I took some of the people out. I think we went go-kart riding or something like that. And then we were on our way back to the house, and, you know, that I work at, and I'm driving, and for some reason I'm super disoriented, dude. I have no perception of anything, right? And all of a sudden I'm going downhill, right? Like steep downhill in this car, and there's no downhill tracks on my way to work, right? And then I look to my right, and there's like at this point that I'm supposed to be at, I'm going around a turn, because as soon as I go around the big turn, the exit that I take is on the right. And I'm looking over, because whenever you look over before the big turn, you can see the ocean and you can see buildings and stuff down there, right? Houses. And when I look over, none of that is there, dude. It's just nothing. The ocean's not there. People aren't there. Houses aren't there. No mountains, nothing. And this is in the middle of the day. There's no fog. There's no smog, nothing. And I'm like, holy shit, what did I just see? Like, what just happened? And then I was like, all right, don't freak out, because I have a bunch of people in the car with me. Yeah. You know, I'm like, don't trip out. It's going to be okay. Just don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut and just keep driving.
Yeah.
So I just kept driving, and probably like for like 2 minutes in this entire time, I'm like, where am I? None of the signs made any kind of sense. The highway signs weren't the highway signs that I'm used to seeing, because I have a really good memory. Like whenever I do something several times, I know, and whenever I see it, I know it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's none of what I'm used to seeing.
Yeah.
And then I just keep driving, and then something happened, and then I ended up back at the same big turn that I took. My exit is the right, and it's back to normal.
Wow.
And I'm like, what was that? You know, I don't know if it was a different kind of reality or a different perception, yeah, like you're talking about, but I drove through it. I don't know, but that also brings up a story that I heard probably like 6 or 7 years ago. There's this truck driver, right? And he was driving, this was probably back in, this was a story that was passed down to me from someone, you know, back home. Because I'm from the town with the Mothman and all that, right? And there's the Mothman Museum, and people go in there and talk to the guy that runs the Mothman Museum all the time about all kinds of different stories and UFOs and like all that stuff. But anyway, there was this truck driver that was driving, and he went into like this mist, like this really weird mist fog thing, right? And whenever he came outside of it, he saw a diner on the right. So he pulled off to the side of the road to go to the diner to rest. And he saw that it looked really weird. It looked like a 50s diner, right? Out in the middle of nowhere. And he went into this diner, and everyone is dressed up like they live in the 50s, you know? And like, apparently he walked in and was like, you know, and started talking to them and everything, and was like, asking questions and all that. And I'm not for sure exactly what happened, but it just goes to prove that, like, I feel like that there's energetic forces and different kinds of things going on. And if we can, if you're in the right place at the right time, you can go forward in the future, or you can go back, right? There has to be these, some kind of energetic anomalies that's on the planet, because I believe that I agree with you when you say we're in a simulation of sorts, and that would explain how we could go into one of these things and then be set back, or we could be going forward, or we can be going into something completely unknown, right? It's like a glitch in the matrix, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. And that makes me wonder if that's how, like, you know, sometimes these Mandela effects are created, some of the weird high strangeness, you know, with movie titles and all these things that we, you know, Berenstain Bears, all the slight changes in our reality that we're 100% sure were different at one time, but may have changed. Also, what if, you know, what if when we actually die, we don't actually die, we're just shifted to a new timeline or a new reality where things may be slightly different, but, you know, not exactly the same, but you're still living, you're still going on. It's just maybe there's millions and millions of different realities, you know, unlimited realities occurring at the same time, and each time you exit one, you just slip over to the next one, the next closest one that's closest to that reality, and you continue going. That's an interesting one too. I don't know.
That would be really dope, actually. If you could actually remember everything.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, because that would suck going into a shittier reality.
Yeah, and I was also telling you about, you know, manifestation techniques I use for myself, such as, you know, entering a door or even your shower or something and expecting that after you open the door and pass through, you actually enter a different reality, one that's better for yourself, one that you planned before you enter that door. Okay, this new reality is going to be better in this way, you know, this is going to happen, I'm going to want this out of this, and so on and so forth. And then you open that door, you go through, and then you're in that reality. And honestly, it's strangely enough, things have manifested that way for me just by doing that simple technique. It's very interesting to see, you know, the things that could happen just with the powers of your own thoughts and manifestation techniques and law of attraction, things like that.
Yeah, doorways are really powerful. And yeah, getting your mind on track to do that is, see, it's simple things like that that I feel like people don't really take into consideration or even think about. And that's really eye-opening for me, because we walk through doors every day, you know? So we can be doing all kinds of, you know, crazy things without even really taking a second thought to it, you know? And we can program our mind to give us things that we want and things that we need automatically, you know?
Well, think about this, like for 20, 30 years, maybe at least 20 years of my life, okay? I would wake up dreading, well, even before that, maybe 30, dreading either going to school or going to work. That I would wake up with these knots in my stomach, like, I don't want to do this. This is going to be awful. All day I got to go to this stupid institution where I'm not going to learn anything, or I got to go to this bullshit job where I'm making this little bit of money to do this and this and this, and I'm not going to see anybody in my family or my loved ones for 8 hours, and I only get the weekends off. Oh my gosh, and this is every day. And then the little glimpses of happiness you get on the weekend, you're like, oh, I have a day off, yay. Oh, I have a day off, yay. And back to sucking devil dick every 5 days a week. And this goes on for years out of most people's lives. And, you know, I'm not saying everybody wakes up and feels that way. I did. I know a lot of people, other people that do wake up when they have to go, knowing they have to go to a job they don't like or a school that they don't understand why they're going to. They wake up with this sick feeling in their stomach and they're not happy about it. Imagine what years and years and years of that can do to a person's health, can do to a person's mind, can do to a person's mental state, emotional state. And, you know, that was me for years, and to be free from that is like, it's one of the most amazing things. And if I highly recommend, if people can find a way to be able to wake up and be happy about what they're about to experience during the day, man, that can change everything. And it can get, you know, I think it could even prolong people's lives in certain ways, you know.
I agree so much, Chris, and getting people to recognize that and bring the awareness to it is very important, that we need to be living up to our full potential as, you know, the beings that we are. We're very special. We have everything that we need, you know, inside of us, you know, where I've said it 100 times, I 100% believe that we are multidimensional spirit beings and we live on every level of reality possible. There's copies of us, there's endless copies of us out there. And if we can tap into those, we can realize a bunch of different things. We can bring in all of that information. We've been here before. We've done this thousands of times, right? It's just the time to remember and bring the awareness. And through that, you'll get direction on where your life needs to head. And the negative and a lot of the bullshit things that's been happening to you, if you're having a rough time through this transition, you can start to turn that around and flip it on its head and realize that, you know, we can turn negative things into positive things, right? Like if you lose your job, you lose everything that you had, you can find positive things in that and realize that it's just a transition, because a lot of the times it's showing you that you aren't living up to your full potential or you need to be doing something else. But the problem is we're so locked in to those things and we've identified with them for so long and they've become a part of our reality at every turn, right? So whenever they're not there, we tend to not know what to do with ourselves, right? And it's new and it's fresh and it's uncomfortable. And to be able to get out of that frame of mind and realize that all these things are happening for a reason. And that's a super cliche thing to say, but it's true. And it's happening for a reason because it provides us the opportunity to grow from it, right? And do something different, do something that is serving our highest and best good that we don't hate every freaking day of the week.
Yeah, I think that's actually like the first step to hacking the matrix and controlling your reality is becoming happy with your reality and, you know, not miserable every day and look forward to, you know, the things that you're going to do with your day. And just that positive energy alone, man, that's like the magic. That's what it is. It's this energy, it's the force, I believe. You know, I wholeheartedly believe that positive thinking, positive energy, and being able to harness that and use it and manipulate it, that's the force, that's magic, that's what, at least, you know, positive or light magic or good magic is. It's being able to manipulate that positive force that's out there. And you know, when you share that with people and when you implement it in your lives and you do things with positivity and you're doing it with magic, and that magic will have an effect and it will bring back, you know, positive things to you. It's, you know, even if, you know, put it in your artwork, if you're doing art, put it in your music, if you're doing music, just, you know, that passion that goes out, you can tell, you know, a good song or a good music, you can tell somebody if they had passion while doing it, because it gives you that kind of magical feeling. Or if you look at a piece of artwork and you're like, oh my gosh, you get that welling up inside. Somebody put magic into that to get you to elicit that emotion, man. And that's what it's all about. And we need to spread that magic across the planet right now.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you for coming on today. I'm going to let you go because I know you have another show.
Oh, thank you, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a wonderful conversation. Thanks so much for coming on and speaking with me. Where can people find your show or get in contact with you if they would like to?
Yeah, sure. Forbidden Knowledge News and Beyond Classified on all podcast platforms. Beyond Classified goes on the same podcast stream as Forbidden Knowledge News. And you could find that all on our website, forbiddenknowledge.news. You can also get Raised by Giants there and a bunch of other cool podcasts. Rockfin, go there for all our premium content. The juicy stuff you can't get anywhere else. We're also on Odyssey and Limited on YouTube because YouTube sucks. But we're still there. And if you want to get in touch with me, the email is forbiddenknowledgenews@gmail.com. So hit me up there. And Ryder, man, thanks again. That was awesome. Love talking to you every time I come on.
Thanks so much, Chris. I appreciate you a lot. All of Chris's links to his YouTube channel and everything that he just mentioned, his Rockfin and website, will be in the description below. Go and check that out. Chris does fantastic work. He's constantly pumping out episodes, so go over there and show him some love. And for everyone else, thanks for watching and listening. Much love to everyone in the chat. Please be sure to hit the thumbs up button to help the channel out on YouTube algorithms. Share, subscribe, hit the bell icon as well for notifications. The link to my channel on Odyssey is in the description. Hit the follow button over there as a backup. You can also catch this episode and any other episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. You can also download them individually on Spreaker.com directly to your device for free. Links are in the description. Thank you all so much. And thanks again, Chris, for coming on my show and sharing your knowledge. Love to have you back on sometime in the future. And I'm looking forward to coming and hanging out with you in Colorado here next week.
Oh, yeah. Space Daddy gonna be in the house.
That's right, baby.
Oh, yeah, man. It's gonna be fun.
And remember, we're not only in a spiritual war, but a war on humanity. Stay aware, stay alert, keep loving your heart for everyone. Stay safe out there. And if you can see through the illusion, you are the solution. See you guys next week.